So in the context we have this, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will make." Now we will find this new covenant repeated again for these first century Messianic or Jewish believers. As I always say, I'm a Messianic Gentile. Messianic Jews, Messianic Gentiles, yeah. Praise the Lord, I love the Messiah of Israel. Yeah. The Lord Jesus to me is the Savior of the world, the Messiah of Israel, the head of the church. What a wonderful Savior we have. And now comes the quotation. Okay, and these are unconditional promises, as in Jeremiah. These are not, "If you will, I will." That's the Mosaic Covenant. The Mosaic Covenant is a conditional covenant. "If you will obey me, I will bless you." Deuteronomy 28. "If you disobey, I will curse you." That's the conditional covenant, the Mosaic Covenant. All the other covenants are unconditional. Now, we haven't developed this, but I think it is good just to say it. These covenants reflect the covenant arrangements in the time of the Bible, in what we call the A-N-E, the Ancient Near East. And all these covenant arrangements the people are familiar with, because they're going on in their generation and in their world, the ancient world. First of all, there was the Royal Grant Covenant. And then there was the Suzerain Vassal Covenant. I haven't got them here in the notes. The Royal Grant Covenant was when a monarch or a leader just wanted to give you something without any strings attached. Give you a gift. Could be a piece of land. Could be a wife. Could be anything, gold or anything. Called the Royal Grant. Unconditional. I give it to you. No fine print. No strings attached. Then the other one is the Suzerain Vassal Covenant. And that's an equal covenant, where you go into an agreement and there are conditions. If one breaks the covenant, there can be recourse. If one breaks the covenant, there can be recourse. That's the conditional covenant. And incidentally, Hebrew scholars and ancient Near East scholars have shown that the book of Deuteronomy is based on that covenant structure. Very interesting. The book of Deuteronomy. So what we have here is the I wills. The I will covenant. It is unconditional. We know that they will fulfill the condition of repentance, but God says it's going to happen, and it's going to happen one day. Israel will be restored, and Israel will return to me. And all those passages that we looked at this morning, remember they are all in that context. That rather, the New Covenant passage was always in that context, so we must keep it in that context and not take it out of that context, even though it's recorded here. And we're going to see in the latter part of this session, because it appears here and is obviously relating to Christian people, even though they are Jewish, this is proof that God has finished with Israel and now has given this to the church. That's one of the proofs of the amillennialists and the replacement theology. But hang in there. Don't walk out just yet. We are going to press on to this. One of my students, or rather one of my fellow lecturers at New Transmission, was in the class of Dr. Kenneth Wiest. You know Wiest's Expanded Translation and New Testament Studies? Wonderful, wonderful ministry. He used to be the Greek professor at Moody Bible Institute, and he always used to say to the class, "Don't jump overboard, stay on board. Don't jump doing Greek." That's where I lost all my hair, learning Hebrew and Greek. "Don't jump overboard." So they gave him a nickname. They called him Captain Wiest. Captain Wiest. He was the captain of the ship, telling them every class, "Don't jump overboard. Don't give up." Yeah. Stay with us. We'll press on till the end of the day. Okay. Now, what do we find here? We find those things mentioned again, those wonderful things that are mentioned again, that were in the New Covenant. Let's just summarize those briefly. There's the internalization of God's law. There's intimate knowledge of God. And there is the forgiveness of sins mentioned there in 10, 11, and 12. And they're wonderful truths, aren't they? Praise the Lord, they're wonderful truths. Now this is being conveyed to the first generation of Jewish believers, and we find that the writer takes up this particular passage. Remembering, it could be very relevant to them, being Jewish believers. But of course, it won't be limited to Jewish believers. Because we believe in the plan of God, it will be also extended to Gentile peoples in the meantime, seeing the Lord Jesus has shed his blood on Calvary. The internalization of God's law. Just a little difference here in reading, but I'm not going to press this, but just raise it with you. Verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Now, as we read this, we find that there is a little variation from the quotation that we have in Jeremiah. And lest that puzzle some of you, we find that the writers of the New Testament, when they quoted the Old Testament, they quoted the Septuagint translation. That is the translation of the Hebrew Bible into Greek in 200 BC. That was the Bible that the early church used. Mainly the Septuagint translation. So you find the majority of quotations are in line with the Septuagint translation, the Old Testament Septuagint translation. It has been called, the Septuagint translation has been called the Bible of the early church. There are some quotations that are from the Hebrew text, but there are some variations there. If that is a trouble to you, just come and we can have a chat about it. We believe in the sovereignty and the providence of God. He has maintained his pure word to his people. So here are these blessings. And as we are repeating, this is something that God prophesied for the nation. And this is something that God prophesied that will be radical and spiritual. As we said this morning, here is a nation, and all sins are forgiven. Here is a nation where God has put in their minds his law and written them on their heart. And no one will need to say, do you know the Lord? Come on, I'll introduce you to the Lord. The whole nation will know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. That's the covenant, that's the promises of the new covenant. That's the eschatological picture and the hope that is set before them. House of Israel, house of Judah. But here we have a note that's not in Jeremiah 31. And point C, the transitory nature of the old. And this was a difficulty for first generation Jewish believers and those who were proselytes who had embraced Judaism. For the Gentile, it is not so difficult because he was not under that, unless he put himself under that to please God in some way. But here we have the transitory nature of it. And we have these words, obsolete and vanishing away. Matthew 8:13. In that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away.